Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Sunday School at the Bible Baptist Church of DeLand, Florida. My name is Mark. I am not the pastor. I am not the usual Sunday school teacher. And I'm not even the substitute Sunday school teacher. If you're not familiar with our organization for Sunday school, a different person teaches Sunday school each week. And the Sunday school lessons are preset to get us from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible in about 5 years. And so if you were here 5 years ago, you're probably going to recognize some of what we talk about. But we're in the book of Numbers, and let us ask God's help as we open His Word. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God, we thank You for being our Father and our God. We ask Your help as we open Your Word. We ask that You would filter what we hear. We ask that our hearts could be open to all that You have for us and closed to all else. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So if you were here last week, you had a blessing in Sunday school where Brother Justin Whitland talked about how God commanded Moses to make two trumpets of silver out of one single chunk of silver, and that had been very well refined, and how those two trumpets were to be blown whenever it was time for everybody to come to a meeting, or to blown differently whenever it was time for everyone to go to war, and to be blown differently again whenever it was time for everyone to assemble to move the camp from where they were now to where they were going, which is the promised land. And here and that was chapter 10. We're still going to be in chapter 10 of Numbers today. Numbers is a record of the time from after Israel left Egypt until the time they reached the promised land. And they actually reached the promised land twice. And we are here in Numbers between the time that the people of Israel left Egypt and the time that they went to the promised land the first time. In fact, next week is communion. The following week, you'll actually get to the promised land with the children of Israel if you're here. So please, show up. Today, though, we're on the journey. And so, if you would please, turn in your Bible with me to the book of Numbers, in chapter 10. And we're actually going to cover from about the middle of chapter 10 all the way to the end of chapter 11. There's a lot there, about six major topics. And so the outline of my lesson this morning is published in your Bible and was commissioned to be published in your Bible by King James. And so if you want the outline, it starts at Numbers chapter 10, verse 29, and goes all the way to the end of chapter 11. That's the outline we'll follow this morning. That's the outline that was actually prescribed in the lesson material. However, I will show you that in Numbers chapter 10, verse 10, which is where Brother Justin finished last week, where the trumpets are being prescribed and for how they'll be used, verse 11, the next one says this: "And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year," that, by the way, is the second year after they left Egypt. It's the second month of that second year and the 20th day of that month after they left Egypt. "The cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony." There was a tabernacle, a big tent with several inner chambers where finally in the most innermost chamber a priest would go to meet with God. Everyone knew God's presence was in the tabernacle because there was a cloud, a pillar of cloud, the Bible says, that rested on the tabernacle, and it went away. Verse 12 says, "And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of," this is the south, Paran. If you were somewhere else, you could be forgiven for saying Paran. So, could they see it from Sinai to Paran and say, okay, that's where we need to go? Did they see the direction it went and eventually it faded in the distance because it was so far away? They said, well, it went that way, so let's go that way. The Bible doesn't say. It says, and they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses, verse 13. And the next many verses are all about who went first and who went second. Tribes, what tribe went third, what tribe went fourth. And that's not part of our lesson this morning, but I promise all 12 of them did get to go. Now in verse 29, everybody was lined up. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, stop. Moses had a father-in-law named Raguel. The father-in-law had a son. Therefore, Moses is talking to his brother-in-law. If you've ever gone into business with your brother-in-law, here's Moses doing the same thing. What did he say? He said, we're journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Moses must like this guy, or trust him, or find him useful, this fellow Hobab, because he said, God is going to give us something great. Come get that with us. Now, I remember Brother Chris Riley saying, if God has given you something great, you're allowed to say to someone else, come have that with us. Has God given us something great? Okay, that's awesome. So Hobab replied, though, as you might hear from time to time, when you offer God's wonderful gift to someone, and he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. Hobab has come to visit Moses. He's seen the great camp. And Moses says, we're leaving. And Hobab says, okay, I'm going home. Moses wasn't going to hear it. When someone rejects the gospel from you, you can say, all right, and tell them where they ought to go now that they've made their choice. Or you could say, leave us not, I pray thee. And then he tells him why he wants him to come. For as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. You know the country, Hobab. You know the wilderness. You know this place. We don't. We're city folks. We just came out of Egypt next to the flesh pots with our onions and lentils. And so we don't know the wilderness. That thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. You can be our eyes out here. We don't know what we're looking at, but you do. If you're with us, you'll be able to tell us what's what. And it shall be, this is the promise, it shall be, verse 32, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Did he basically say the same thing again? Yes, he did. And if you tell somebody about Jesus, are you going to, if they don't like what you say, are you going to change the plan and tell them, see if they'll try that? No. We tell them again. Now, this isn't in this passage of Scripture, but I'll tell you that if you've been talking to someone about Jesus and it's breaking down and you can't do it anymore, you don't have to give up. What you do is you talk to Jesus about them. And that works great because he's a professional at dealing with these kinds of situations. And the Bible says in verse 33, they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. So they should be going to Paran because that's where the cloud went. It says they're going to search out a resting place. If God has ever said to you, here's what I want you to do, and you've said, let me see if I can figure out what I should do. Well, you know that as long as God's saying one thing and you're saying, well, let me figure something out, it's not going to go all that well. But the Bible says that the ark went ahead of them by 3 days. The ark didn't walk. People carried the ark 3 days ahead of them before the children of Israel actually went on their march to go to their next place where they were going to camp. And the ark here is similar to what we find Jesus saying about himself. The ark went ahead and everyone else followed. In the book of John in chapter 10, verse 3 says of someone who comes, who is the shepherd, it says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, like the ark did, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And so whenever we're looking for the voice of Jesus, it's interesting, a verse from the Old Testament gives us guidance. As we open this book, which looks closed right now, because I have something in 24-point font that I can actually see. But it's the same thing. When we open this book, every day, four chapters a day gets you through in 11 months. The Bible says in Isaiah, in chapter 30, verse 21 says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee." It's like, who said that? Saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right and when ye turn to the left." When I think I'm following God, but I'm drifting off, if I've been studying His Word, I'll hear a voice and says, "You're drifting. That's the way. If I'm going this way, that's the way." Four chapters a day gets you through in a year. "And the cloud of the Lord was upon them." Oh. Now, this can be confusing, because if the cloud of the Lord is out there, you can go in that direction. But if the cloud of the Lord is right here, which way do I go? The ark is leading. The shepherd leads his sheep. The Word of God leads God's Christians. "And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, 'Rise up, Lord, and let the enemies be scattered. Let thine enemies be scattered. Let them be that hate thee flee before thee.'" God is praying. God is not praying. Moses is praying to God for protection. He's praying to God for protection. And when it, what? When the cloud, verse 36, "when it, the cloud rested, he said, 'Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel.'" When they traveled, the cloud went with them, and when it stopped, they stopped. Well, that's better. We heard about Paran at the beginning, and the cloud was going there. But the people went with the cloud. Isn't that better? The sheep get to follow the shepherd. And the shepherd's a little bit ahead, but the sheep are right there. The cloud was a little bit ahead, but the people were right there. We read over and over that the Word of God, we hear and over that the Word of God is right with the times. It speaks about people today as if God knew exactly what was coming. And four chapters a day will get you through in a year. If you're tired of hearing that, Sunday school will be over in 30 minutes. And so, but see Brother David, because he's got a book that will get you through in exactly a year, and you're not wasting the extra time reading verses ahead. Verse 1 of chapter 11 talks about when they're on their journey. And when the people complained, isn't it interesting? How do we know we're on a trip? Somebody's complaining. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them." Funny, we've changed the subject from "we're following the ark, the cloud is leading us, God has a plan," to this. "But God handled that situation pretty well. Let me just read that to you again. And the people complained, it displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it. His anger was kindled. The fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Which is interesting. Where did the people get burned up? And who were the people that got burned up? They were consumed by fire. They got burned up. Was it the people right in the middle up next to the cloud? No. Was it the ones right after them that said, well, they're following the cloud, I'll follow them? No. It was the people way out on the edges. So when it comes to following God, you can follow Him with your binoculars if you want, but it's better if you're right up on Him. I enjoy saying this, so I'll tell you that I feel sometimes like Jesus, when He traveled the earth and lived among us, that He might have had calluses on the back of His ankles. Because every time He was going somewhere with a crowd of people and He met a lady that had an issue of blood or some Gentile that needed their child healed or something else, He'd just stop. And all these other people were like, we're going with Jesus now. See, I'm going with Jesus. They run right into the back of Him because they were paying attention to what they were doing instead of what He was doing. And He stopped. And He spoke to that individual with both His eyes on them until that problem was handled. And that's how He talks to every one of us. He's not listening to me with half an ear while you complain about something else. Because, of course, you're not complaining. But He still gives every one of us full, complete attention. And He expects us to do that for one another. Even if our phone did just buzz. And the people cried to Moses, I'm in trouble with God, so I'm going to go to my preacher. I'm in trouble with God, so I'm going to go to my psychic. I'm in trouble with God, so I'm going to go to my brother-in-law. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. What do you call someone, professionally speaking, what is the name of the profession of someone who can talk to God, but you can't? And so you can talk to them and they can talk to God. Priest, that is exactly right. You've all read Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and it's not in my notes, but it is in my extended outline here, my KJV outline. And I'm going to read it to you because it fits. It says, verse 5 of Revelation chapter 1, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So, has God, through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, made all of us, if we are His followers, priests to God? So when somebody is in trouble with God, and they should be talking to God about that, and they come to us, they actually didn't do the wrong thing. They came to a priest who can talk to God on their behalf, just like Moses spoke to God on their behalf. Now, I'll tell you something else. We can do something that Moses didn't do or couldn't do. We can say, I can talk to God. Let me introduce you to Him. Moses couldn't say that. Moses said, I'm going to go talk to God. Don't get on the mountain or you'll die. What a difference that is highlighted by this passage of Scripture for us. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And so I'll mention that if you ever want to learn a little Hebrew or a little Greek, Taberah means the fire of the Lord burnt among them. So you're welcome. That was free. Verse number 4 says, and changing the subject again. Verse number 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again. It doesn't even say who they talked to. They just wept and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But our soul is now dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed. We'll get back to the other. Was as coriander seed and the color of bdellium. So now you know. If you ever wondered about manna, it's as coriander seed. And the color is as bdellium. Problem solved. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And so you can tell how hungry they must have been with all the work they had to do, grinding this into one kind of bread and milling it into another kind of bread. They must have needed to eat a lot of that stuff. So they weren't hungry, were they? They just had McDonald's 17 times and they wanted to go to Burger King. Look who was complaining. And this is important. This is a warning. Verse 4 says, and the mixed multitude was among that was among them fell a lusting. You know what lusting is? That's desiring for something you shouldn't have. Lust is not a sin. Lusting for something you shouldn't have is. Lust is the desire that's in you. Forgive me for banging on the mic. Lust is the desire that's in you. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel wept. Who is the mixed multitude? It's not as confusing as what's a bdellium and what's a coriander. The mixed multitude were a bunch of people that left Egypt with the Israelites. And when you see a parade of people in the middle of the night sneaking out of town like this because they're carrying all your gold and your gems and your money, which is what happened. The children of Israel left Egypt with 400 years of wages, mostly in gold. So some of the Egyptians followed along. And here they are now thinking, I thought I wanted to be here, but all my money that I just lent to the Egyptians, to the Israelites, isn't going to do me any good if I'm dead out here in the desert or if I'm dead of boredom eating this manna. They wish they could go home. So, if you find yourself socializing with or otherwise spending time with some Egyptians whenever you could be spending some time with some Christians, consider your options. One of the reasons that we are advised be here every time the door is open is because you get to spend time around Christians. And all the things you would have learned either watching the news or listening to the people that watch the news or listening to other people that are going to complain about something else, you don't learn the language of complaining. And so when it's your turn to complain, all you can do is praise the Lord. Now our soul, verse 6, is dried away. There's nothing to eat besides this manna before our eyes. The mixed multitude didn't like that all they had was what God gave them. Have you known that person ever? I saw that person in the mirror once. I told him to go away. He's persistent, though. And the verse 7 says the manna that these people didn't like was as coriander seed. Now, a coriander seed is actually the seed of a cilantro plant. It's what it looked like. It didn't taste like cilantro. They had soap already, probably. But but a cilantro seed is about the size of a BB. You could get about 4 cilantro seeds in an eraser head on a pencil. They're little. And bdellium is amber to brown color. So in the desert sand, if there's a little coriander down there that's brown instead of sand color, you can see it. God made it so they could find it. And the people went out, verse 8, and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar, baked it in pans, made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as of fresh oil. Very interesting. You'll be advised by YouTube to stay away from seed oils, but these were pressed fresh. They were okay. And the dew, verse 9, fell on the camp in the night, and manna fell upon it. And Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. Now it's the people. It's everybody. The mixed multitudes message has gotten to everybody else because they spent time with those guys. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. I'll say it for you again. And Moses also was displeased. Last time, Moses didn't even have to think about it. The fire was out on the edges of the camp and people came running. They said, pray, pray. And so Moses said, God, would you stop this, please? And he did. But now Moses is just as upset as God was. And Moses said unto the Lord, verse 11, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Why'd you do this to me? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? If you have a wife, she said that about you. If you have a husband, he said that about you. We have a good shepherd. He already knew about you. And he came anyway. Verse 11 says, God, why'd you give me these people? He's trying to find his receipt so he can take them back to Walmart. Have I conceived all this people? Do I have a responsibility because they're my children? No. Have I begotten them? Is there a difference, conceived versus begotten? You can sometimes just put them together. But very often, when the Bible says begotten, it means that your father has given you a part in the inheritance of the family. It's like you became a member of the firm. Moses is who we're talking about. But the Bible says when Noah was 500 years old, he begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Either they were triplets and they were all born at the same time, or Mrs. Noah said, you haven't made your will. What are we going to do? And he said, okay, fine. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you're begotten now. You're going to inherit everything. Is that okay, Mrs. Noah? She said, yes, it's fine. And so they had a begetting ceremony. What happened? The Bible says he begat them. That's all it says. Everything else I made up. Verse 12 says, have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father, bearing the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Do I have to hold their hands and wipe their noses? God says, well, kind of. But he's not done. Moses is not done. Verse 13, whence, from where? Whence means where from. Whenever you see whence, it means from where. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? Jesus was ready when his disciples asked him, where are we going to find all the bread to feed all these people? Moses said to God, where am I going to get flesh, that's meat, to feed all these people? Look at Moses' error. Moses' error is that the people said, we want this. And Moses went to God and said, how do I give this to them? He didn't say, God gave you manna. Food, having food and clothing, therewith be content. Jesus hadn't said that yet. So maybe he wouldn't have said it yet. Why? Verse 13. For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. Moses said, and this is something we can quote, all of us, for ourselves, I am not able to bear this people alone because it is too heavy for me. If you live there, then you have the opportunity to see the power of God work in your life. Moses wasn't done still, though. Sometimes we could just stop talking and it'd be okay. Verse 15 says, if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Interesting, he said, I pray thee. Pray means beg. So when we pray to God, we're coming to ask. And to ask in some of the most desperate terms. If you're going to do this to me, just kill me. I don't want to be part of it. Thankfully, verse 16 says, and the Lord said, even if he's mad at you, if he's still talking to you, you're okay. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto me the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. The tabernacle. Very interesting. They're on the move, aren't they? But now here they are, somewhere between where they were and where they're going. And when they stopped, they set up the tabernacle. When they stopped, they said, where are we going to have church? And they set up the tabernacle. Verse 16 said, I mangled it. He said, go get me the important people. Verse 17 said, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I'll take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Isn't it interesting? God said, there's enough spirit of God to take care of this problem. But since you don't want to do it, I'll take some of the spirit from you and give it to some other people so it's not just you. Moses could have said, God, please make me bold to speak your word and fill me with your spirit. He complained. God said, if you don't believe on the spirit that I've put in you, I will only ask of you what you can believe, and I'll give the rest of it to somebody else. It almost feels like he got a little bit fired. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, verse 17, and thou shalt bear it not thyself alone. Thank the Lord that he doesn't put us out, but he brings us help. Verse 18 says, and say thou unto the people. Now here come some instructions. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. They complained, they asked. The Bible says God told them, you're going to get. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? And he goes ahead and quotes them. You ever hear someone quote your complaint and you wish you hadn't said it? For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and be loathsome to you. Because that you've despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? I haven't stopped to remind you, because you already know, that Egypt was a place where food was provided to them so they could keep on working or get beaten by whips if they didn't work. I need to stop and eat. I gave you something to eat. Get back to work. So yeah, they got free food, kind of. More like catering came to their job, so they couldn't leave. Verse 21 says, and Moses said, the people among who I am are... He's still talking to God. God said, tell them this. He says, and he's what? The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I'll give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain? How are you going to do this? Do I have to kill my cows so that you can feed them with my stuff? Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered? He's getting a little nuts now. For them to suffice them, he's just having an argument. And God's putting up with it. Bless his heart. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? To wax is to grow. Usually if the moon is in waxing phase, it's getting bigger. Most of the time waxing is getting bigger. It's interesting he waxed it short. Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. God's having to say, just stand aside and watch. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord that he didn't believe, and gathered the 70 men of the elders and set them around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake to him and took of the Spirit which was upon them and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and it did not cease. I don't remember the verse in the book of Amos that said, once the Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Prophesying is saying something that someone else said. It's repeating someone else. If you wonder why I don't have much to say to you this morning except what's in this book, it's because I want what I say to make sense. And I promise if I deviate much, it's going to go downhill from there. What I am doing this morning counts as prophesying because God said it to me and I'm saying it to you. The Bible says that these 70 people prophesied and did not cease. Have you ever heard when they do not cease, they run overtime and overtime and overtime? We're not going to do that at all. But there remained two men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, the other was Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. And they were written, they were on the list, but they went not out to the tabernacle. They stayed home when they were called, and they prophesied in the camp, not at the tabernacle. And Jesus heard this story too, if you've read the Gospels. And there ran a young man, told Moses, he tattled, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, he was young and ready to have the rules enforced. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord, Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Do they have something I don't have? And so you're like upset on my behalf? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, Moses said. He said, I wish every single person that belonged to God would read his word and tell somebody what he said. Amen. And the Lord would put his Spirit on them. And Moses got him into the camp and the elders of Israel. And here it comes. Did they have to kill all the herds? Did they have to go fishing until the sea was empty of fish? Verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord that brought quails from the sea. So it kind of was from the sea. And let them fall by the camp. The wind blew them. You know what quails do, right? If you ever see a quail, when you see them, first off, you have to look fast because they're hiding in the grass. Then they jump up out of the grass. They fly as hard as they can. Then they fall to the ground because they don't do that very well. And they hide again. Well, these quails from somewhere near the ocean jumped up out of their grass, and God made a wind blow them. And they were like, hey, this is quail heaven. He said, you just wait, you're going to quail heaven. And they let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side. You could walk all day out of camp, and you're finding quail. You could walk all day the other way out of camp finding quail who are tired because they flew a long way. The Bible says in verse 32, no, to say in 31, as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. A cubit is about a foot and a half. The quails were this deep. They were wading through the quails. Maybe God organized it and they could walk through piles of quails that were this deep. But they were this deep. Verse 32, the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails, and he that gathered the least gathered 10 omers. I figured out what omers are, but I can't run through that. We don't have time. And they spread them all abroad for themselves around the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it were chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague, and he called the name of the place. Go ahead, you try. Kibroth Hataava. Because there they buried the people that lusted, and the people journeyed from, get another try, Kibroth Hataava unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth. The people that lusted, the mixed multitude, and whoever followed them were removed from the people of Israel that day. They lusted, they pursued their lust. In their lust, they died, and everyone who was left buried them and continued following the Lord. We found out that Moses wishes all of us would hear the word of God and repeat it. We found out that God has provided and provided and provided, and his provision is good. And we can be satisfied. We can therewith be content. And that is the best way. Thank you for letting us talk to you about the Bible.
Amen. Enjoyed that? Often we read in our Bible, and I don't know about you, you think that sure be great to live in times when God was working visible miracles, you know, the healings and the wonders and all that. And then you read that chapter and think, well, part of that visible wonders is if you lust after something God doesn't want for you, he just kills you. That's I'm really kind of okay with the kind of downplaying the supernatural and just, Lord, letting things run their course. But what a great phrase in that 22nd verse. Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Just sit tight and you'll see it. God's word always, always come to pass right on the money.